Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The lazy man says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer, praying for this text and for this time hearing the word of God. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless this time. We pray that you would help me in preaching and those who are here in listening. We pray just for your grace to be upon us and help me and those who are here be more and more convinced of our need to not be lazy, but to be diligent in things that matter. Help us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Laziness is a common and even respectable sin in American culture. Laziness is what we can call, again, a respectable sin. Something that is expected. Something that is not really looked down upon. Is something that is seen as normal for people to be lazy, not getting done what they ought to get done, not giving themselves to what they should be, being lazy or busybodies or idle in their responsibilities. It's a common American vice. It's very common for people to be lazy and to not be diligent in what they have to do. And laziness can be manifest in different ways. Someone can be very busy but very lazy. And someone could be not doing anything and very lazy. Because you can be lazy by giving yourself to a lot of things that don't matter. And that's a form of laziness because the reason it's a form of laziness is you have things that you ought to be doing, but you give yourself to things that you would rather do that don't cost you as much, aren't as difficult as a manifestation of laziness. So you might have someone who is super busy with playing video games. He's always doing it. He might be busy, but he's doing that instead of getting a job. He's very busy playing. He would tell you, "Oh, I'm super busy trying to level up on my game." And he might be filling his days with that. And so he could say, "Oh, of course I'm busy." But he's doing it at the expense of getting a job and working hard. Or someone could just, because of an unwillingness to get up or an inordinate love of sleep, a unwillingness to do what they ought to do. And so laziness can come in different forms. It could also come in someone who is very maybe diligent in their work, but we call them a workaholic, where they're so consumed with their work that they don't give themselves to their relationship with God and their family. And that can actually be a manifestation of laziness because they know it's easier for them to do stuff on the job than deal with their relationships at home. And so all these things can be manifestations of laziness. But the Proverbs are filled with the importance of diligence. The importance of diligence. The importance of not being lazy. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That's in the Proverbs. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That image of the ants who are hardworking creatures to provide for themselves. And God says, if you want to know what it means to be a hard worker, go to the ant, you sluggard. And so we see throughout the Proverbs the importance of hard, diligent work, whether in the home or outside the home. Because I think it's very unhelpful to say that women who are homemakers, that's their primary, to say they don't work. They do work. They just work hard in the home. They're workers at home. And so everyone is called to work. I remember reading something in Albert Martin's book, Encouragement for Pastors' Wives, that me and Liz read together. And he was talking about from Titus chapter 2. Basically, the book is almost an exposition of Titus 2. That women are to love their husbands, love their children, discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. And he was at the section that women are to be homemakers. And in that section, he talked about the reality that he loved to write strong that his wife was a homemaker. If anybody asks, what's your wife's vocation? You say homemaker. But then some people would say, does your wife work? And he would say, yes, because if she doesn't work, she doesn't eat. And the point he was trying to make is come against the idea that women in the home aren't working. They are. They're just doing a different type of labor and focusing on keeping the home. And so the point is, whether women are in the home, men outside the home, whatever we're giving ourselves to, our primary sphere, we are to be diligent in that labor. We are to be diligent in what God has us to do. We are to be diligent with our responsibilities. And so the main point of this sermon is, the foolish excuses a lazy man gives for his laziness. The foolish excuses a lazy man gives for his laziness. And I don't have any subpoints, so that's what the text is about. The text is the foolish excuses a lazy man gives for his laziness. And so verse 13 again reads, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. So again, this text is showing us the foolish excuses that people can give to justify their laziness. The foolish excuses. I don't think the proverb is saying, maybe this could happen, but I don't think someone would really say, like, they're in their bed, they're being called to do something, they're unwilling to work, and the man says, literally, the reason I'm not working is because there's a lion outside and I might be slain in the streets. I don't think you're not supposed to take from that he's actually saying that. I think what is being said is this is the foolishness of laziness. That the foolish excuses that people can say, it can sound like they're saying, there's a lion outside, I'll be slain in the streets. The foolish excuses for our laziness. But let me show you a few texts in the book of Proverbs of the importance of diligence. Look to, or the sin of laziness. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. It says there, Proverbs 12 and verse 27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Diligence is man's precious possession. Or chapter 16 and verse 26. Proverbs 16 and verse 26. The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. Or Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Or Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Or 21 and verse 5. 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. And then lastly, 21 verses 25 and 26. Proverbs 21, 25 and 26. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. And so we see in the Proverbs the importance of diligence. The importance of diligence. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, as we saw in Proverbs 21, verse 5. And so God desires us to be diligent. But a lazy man, someone who is consumed by their laziness, will give all types of excuses why they cannot work, why they cannot be diligent, why they cannot do what God desires of them, even to saying things, or almost like a mocking way of putting it, to say, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Matthew Henry puts it like this, talking about this text, quote, many frighten themselves from real duties by imaginary difficulties. The slothful man has work to do without in the fields, but he fancies there is a lion there. Nay, he pretends. He dares not go along the streets for fear somebody or other should meet him and kill him. He does not himself think so. He only says so to those that call him up. He talks of a lion without, but considers not his real danger from the devil, that roaring lion which is in bed with him, and from his own slothfulness which kills him. End quote. So we see these are fanciful things. This man is just making up fancies because he does not want to work. But the interesting that Matthew Henry points out is that idleness is one of the best places for the devil to do work on our hearts. Because when we're idle, it's a ground, it's a fertile ground for temptation, for thoughts, intrusive thoughts, for ourselves to be bombarded by temptation from our own flesh. And so the lion outside is not as bad as the roaring lion that can be involved with tempting us when we give ourselves to idleness. And so we see that reality. This man is consumed with fanciful, with pretended dangers, and therefore will not work. He has pathetic excuses that there is a lion outside, that he's in bed and he's called up, or to use our modern day language of it, his alarm clock goes off and he knows he has to be somewhere. And instead of getting up, he makes all types of excuses why he doesn't have to go today. And if we're not careful, we can fall into these excuses. We can pretend like we're sick. That's a way to be lazy. We can pretend like we're sick because we don't want to do something. We can let fear cripple us, where we're so consumed about what might happen that fear cripples us from doing our duty. We can let distractions from things overcome us. We can allow our pleasures, which might not even be sinful, allure us. And so that we might not give ourselves to diligent labor. And the lazy man gives all types of excuses of why he doesn't have to labor. Why he doesn't have to labor. And this is why, like I said before, America is filled with the vice of laziness. That you can, if you find someone on the job, even if they don't have any education or any training, if they are willing to work, that is such a commendable quality. Even if they have no education, no background, if you find someone who is teachable and willing to labor and give themselves for the good of the company, that goes a long way. Something that should be so basic that if you're going to work somewhere, you should be diligent, is such a commendable quality because it can be so rare. I've even heard people say that sometimes a college degree is not as profitable because sometimes they get out, they've been giving themselves all types of, they've been in Vanity Fair for 4 years, they come out and they're not diligent. And therefore, in some places, I'm sure they would rather have someone with no college degree who's diligent than a college degree with no diligence. And so we see those realities, that people can be marked by laziness. And the excuses are pathetic. There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. It's interesting, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, this is in the context of caring for widows. And widows are to be cared first by their own families. That's what 1 Timothy 5 teaches. The first line of defense, we could say, for a widow is who should she be cared for? By her children or grandchildren. Not by the state, but by her children or grandchildren. Then if she can't be cared by them, then she should be cared for by the church. If she's a godly widow and she has proven herself to be a godly woman. But in that context, we see that it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's one of the strongest statements in the entire Word of God, to say someone is worse than an unbeliever. So not only are they showing themselves an unbeliever, they're worse than an unbeliever. What I think that is getting at is even unbelievers know that they should provide material provision for those who are under their care. Even lost men know that. And therefore, for a man who names the name of Christ to not provide for his own, especially his own household, he's actually worse than an unbeliever. Because this is one of the reasons why God made men was to provide and protect women. That's what God told Adam in the garden. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it or to work it and keep it. So to work it and keep it. Keep is the word for guard, protect it. God put Adam in the garden for provision and protection, to work it and keep it. And so a man, when he doesn't do that, which is what it means to be a man, 101, to work, to provide and protect, he is worse than an unbeliever. And so the lazy man is not only bad, he's worse than an unbeliever because he's unwilling to provide for his household. He's unwilling to care for those under his care. And so we see in the Proverbs and here the danger of laziness. The danger of laziness, that the lazy man is one who makes pathetic excuses. And it's important for us because we live in a culture that sees laziness as respectable. And also we can have so many different distractions. Distractions with our phones, distractions with even good things when we should be giving ourselves to other things. We can be so distracted in our culture that we need the reminder that God wants us to be diligent. Women who are in the home, working in the home, which is a commendable thing. It should be commended more. I wish it was commended more in church culture. Sadly, it's not. But women working in the home is a commendable thing. But there is much temptation for women who are working in the home because they don't have a schedule the same way. And they can easily give themselves to hours of internet time, hours of talking on the phone, without giving themselves to caring for their family. Or men, it can be the same way, where we have so many things that can distract us, that even maybe good things, but instead of giving ourselves to laboring for what God wants us to labor for. And so laziness is something that is a sin. A lot of times we don't think about that, but it is. It's a sinful thing to be lazy. This does not mean that there's never a time for relaxation and resting and recuperating. We need that or we'll burn out. So someone could hear this sermon and say, okay, I need to be diligent, and then they burn themselves out. That's not good either. There's a place for relaxation, resting. But if we're using rest rightly, rest is to help us to be more diligent, to give ourselves to the labor God has called us to. Rest is not a means, and rest is a means to an end. Meaning, or I don't know if I said that right. Rest is if we're using it purposely, let me put it like this. If we're using rest purposely, it is so that we can be diligent in what God has called us to. Because God says he gives his beloved sleep, Psalm 127. And so someone could go to the extreme and say, I'm not going to hardly sleep at all. I'm going to sleep 2 hours a night so I get everything done. And then they burn themselves out and they're not productive for anything. So God gives us rest so that we can recover, so that we can give ourselves faithfully to diligent labor. And so we see here that this man gives these foolish excuses, instead of giving himself to the labor that God desires of him. We see as well that a verse that is unpopular, I've already kind of quoted it earlier, but if a man is not willing to work, neither shall he eat. That's in the Bible. That if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I don't know about you, but if someone has a very empty stomach and it's growling, and they know no one's going to help them to promote their laziness, they're going to work. An empty stomach is a good motivator to get someone to work. But sadly, we live in a culture that promotes laziness by saying, oh, you can do that and we'll help you. We saw this around COVID time. Many people didn't have workers. Why? Because they could get more from the state to not work than actually be diligent in honest labor. They could sit at home and say, oh, I can just get this money and do nothing. Shamefully, instead of working hard, instead of saying they received this instead of doing something that was diligent. And therefore, businesses were struggling because you saw during that time, everybody was looking for workers. Why? Because the state was giving people lots of money to sit at home and do nothing. And because our natural bent is to be lazy, the natural bent, unless you have a biblical motivation, say, oh yeah, I'll take a couple of $1,000 to sit at home. I'll take that. Unless you have a reason to say, no, I don't want to do that because I want to be diligent in honest labor. And so the lazy man, the one who is slothful, gives all types of excuses for why he shouldn't have to labor. But what a beautiful thing it is for us. If this is a common American sin, and it is, what a beautiful thing it is when they see Christians working hard, when they see Christians diligent, when they see Christians that are trustworthy and are good workers. What a testimony that is to the lost world. And this is connected with the ninth fruit of the Spirit. So the first eight are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. But then the last one is self-control. This is really a manifestation of self-control. Because our natural bent, if we're not careful, is to be lazy. But self-control makes our body our servant so that we can be faithfully giving ourselves to the labor God wants us to do. We control ourselves, and instead of saying, you know what? I want to sleep through and not go to work today. I want to sleep through and not have to get up. But I'm going to discipline my body and bring it under subjection so that I get up and give myself to the labor God has called me to. That's a manifestation of self-control. And one thing that is important with this, that's not as much said in the pulpit, but I think should be said, especially in our culture, this is why men especially, but women as well, should be healthy. Should seek as much as they can by exercise, by not filling their mouth with things that are going to destroy their body quickly. Because if you are sick all the time, it's hard to work. And one of the best ways to be self-controlled, to be a good worker, is by keeping your body in good shape so that you don't succumb to those things by keeping your body healthy. Of course, God is sovereign. Someone could be as healthy and as fit as possible, and God, they could die. But in much as it depends on us, it should be our responsibility to do that so that we can be good workers, so that we can be diligent in what God has called us to. Because this body is the vehicle in which we work. And therefore, by keeping this body well, we are able to be more diligent in our work. And so those things can be very helpful. I mean, even simple things, very practically, walking a couple times a week. Very, very healthy for your body. Very, very good for your body. Getting your body moving. Strength training is fantastic for your body. Lifting weights is wonderful to keep your body in good shape. It's doing things to help your core. Even just doing sit-ups or push-ups. These type of things. I mean, this is as practical as it gets. That keeping your body healthy is one way to contribute to not being lazy, because your body is able to cooperate with what you desire. Because sometimes the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We see that in the connection with temptation. But it can be the same if our body isn't healthy. We might desire to do something, but we need bodily faculties that can help us to do that. And so we need these realities. We need God's help to not be lazy, to not be lazy. It's important. It's important that we desire to be diligent, because if someone will not work, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And so the lazy man is condemned by God as one who is not giving himself to what he should. And of course, ultimately, where we should be most diligent, yes, in our labors, whether in the home or outside the home, but preeminently, we should be diligent, not lazy, to keep God's commandments. The preeminent where God wants us to be diligent is to keep his commandments. Jesus died and rose again on our behalf so that we might be zealous, passionate for good works. That's why he died. so that we would be not lazy, but zealous. If someone is zealous for something, they are passionate about it. They are diligent to it. They're not lazy about it. They are actively seeking it. And Jesus died and rose again. He set us free from sin, not so that we would be slothful to keep his commandments, but that we would be zealous for good works. That we would be zealous for good works. And so that is the primary. Yes, we should be diligent in other ways. And yes, working hard to provide for our family is a manifestation of keeping God's commandments. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. But we are to be diligent and not lazy in keeping God's commandments. In walking out obedience to God by trusting and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting and obeying Jesus Christ. Those who are lost without Jesus Christ, they have been procrastinating. They have been lazy as it relates to repenting and believing. The most important thing, the worst thing you can be lazy about is not repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. Being lazy concerning their soul and making excuses of why they have not come to Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, they are in the worst condition possible because the wrath of God abides on them. And many people that we can talk to give all types of foolish excuses for why they haven't believed the gospel. And they're being lazy for the most important thing that matters, their eternal soul, their never dying soul, their immortal soul. And so the worst thing someone can be lazy about is their never dying soul, and to put that off. But we can hear excuses. We can hear excuses. Jesus gives a parable about the men who go out and they give all types of excuses why they're not going to come to the banquets. By procrastinating the most important thing, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. And men, in an especial way, not that women aren't, but men in an especial way are to be diligent, because men are to be the breadwinners of the family. And so there's a uniqueness that men are called upon by God as a duty to provide for their families by being diligent, by being hard workers. Men, one of the reasons why God created men, one of the key reasons was to provide and protect women and children. Provide and protect, to work and keep, to work and keep. That's why God made men, to provide and protect, to nourish and cherish. If you nourish something, you provide for it. If you cherish it, you protect it. And husbands are to nourish and cherish their wives just as Christ does the church. They're to provide and protect. And so men, in a special way, are to be diligent. And there are not many worse things to see in a man than a man who's unwilling to provide for his family, who's unwilling to do what he has to do to provide. That might mean he has to pick up another job. That might mean he gets a little bit less sleep. That might mean he can't do his hobbies like he wants. But it's pitiful when a man will not do what he needs to do to provide for his family. It's shameful. It's shameful. And even women that maybe are not as committed to, like we are, to biblical patriarchy, even for women that maybe even bought into feminist agenda somewhat, I think even to them, there's a revulsion for them providing for a man when he's able. For them being the primary, when the man's able and they're taking care of him, there's something that just doesn't feel right, even to those who have rejected the word of God. There's something that feels wrong when a man is being lazy and unwilling to work, and the wife is picking up the slack because he's unwilling. Not because he's unable. That's a whole different category. Men sometimes in God's providence become unable. But I'm talking about men who are able but unwilling. That's a shameful thing. And that person, God says, is worse than an unbeliever. And so men are to be diligent. And so us, as men, we are to be diligent. To make this very practical to us now, we should be diligent. We should be focusing on giving ourselves to diligent labor for the good of those who are under our care. And ladies as well. We have one lady here, but others might listen to the sermon when it's recorded. You're to be diligent as well, especially in the areas of domestic duties. The world undervalues the domestic duties. They undervalue the blessing of the home. But the Proverbs 31 woman, she didn't. She watched well, or she watched over the ways of her household well, and did not eat the bread of idleness. She watched well over the ways of her household and was not eating idleness. And so it's so important that women are giving themselves to faithfully care for the home. And us as men, we should encourage that, support that, pray for that, praise that, because they're not going to get that from the culture. The culture does not praise women caring for the home, but God does, and Christian men ought to. And so we should praise that, and women should be encouraged in giving themselves to their domestic duties. They should be caring about those things. It doesn't mean that a woman can never have any type of income. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think women can make income. I mean, the Proverbs 31 woman is an example of that, where she was selling stuff and doing that. But what was it for? It was for the good of her household. It was for the good of her household. And so we see those realities. And diligence is a virtue and something that is very important. Something that is very important. No matter where we are in life as well, we are to be obedient and diligent to obey God's commandments. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are to be obedient to God's commandments. And so we do not want to be like the lazy man or the lazy woman who says, there's a lion outside, I should be slain in the streets. We don't want to make pathetic excuses, but we want to be faithful to be diligent to what God has called us to. We want to be diligent. We want to be hard workers so that we glorify God with the bodies that he's given us and the souls that he's given us. God cares about both. We see from the Proverbs that God cares about us being spiritually active and physically active in the sense of being diligent to our calling. Some people so emphasize the soul that they say, oh, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. You can so emphasize the body and say, it doesn't matter what you do with your soul. The Bible says both matter, our bodies and our souls. And there's an intricate connection between the two of them. And so may by God's grace, may we by our diligent labor, let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Because by doing this, we give a good testimony to those who are outside by being hard workers. May God help us in these things. Amen. Our Father, thank you for your word. Help us be diligent. We know our tendency is to be lazy. Forgive us when we are, and help us be diligent by your grace. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again to make us zealous for good works, and help us be zealous for the good works that you have set before us. Give us grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.